One of the very common psakim that we find in Shulchan Aruch is that something can be mutter b'makom hefsid merubah, which means that many times you'll find in the Shulchan Aruch or in the Ramah that you could be mekel, but only if there's a substantial loss that you're otherwise going to incur. B'makom hefsid merubah, you could be mekel, which usually means that me'ikir adin, the halacha is that you could be mekel, but l'chadchila we're machmir, because there are opinions that are machmir, because there's a little bit of a suffix lahalach, so lechatchil were machmer, but b'makom hefsid meruba you could be mekel. And the question is, how do we define hefsid meruba? What are the parameters of this category where we are mekel only b'makom hefsid meruba? So there's a pischei tshuva in Simon Lamed Aleph in Yeridea Sifkat and Beis that discusses the definition of hefsid meruba. And even though there's a Nachlas Shiva, there's an opinion of the Nachlas Shiva that says that it's totally in a shtus, it's totally in a sixth of the item that you're discussing. If you're going to take more than a sixth of a loss, which usually comes out to be 20%, because it depends on how you calculate the sixth, is it milagav or milabar? But at any rate, the Nachlas Shiva's opinion is that if the loss is more than a shtus of the object under discussion, more than a sixth, then it's a hefsid meruba and you can be mekel. And if it's less than a sixth, you have to be machmir, it's not a hefsid meruba. However, we do not assume like the Nachlas Shiva. Most poskim hold that there's no hard number, there's no exact number where we say that now you have reached the threshold of hefsid meruba. The Har HaKarmel disagrees with the Nachlas Shiva. The Pischei Tshuva says that the halacha is not like the Nachlas Shiva. We assume that it depends on the situation. And a person who asks his Mayra whether this is mutter or whether this is aser, and it's a case where it's only mutter makum hefsid meruba, the Mayra will determine based on the exact situation, the item being discussed, the loss being discussed, and the individual's affluence will also come into consideration. It depends on the matziv, and there's no hard number as to how we determine whether it's considered a hefsid meruba. But another very pertinent question regarding this halacha of hefsid meruba is, what is the halacha if the individual item that you have a shaila about, the individual piece of meat, let's say, that you have a question about, is not something that will cause you a hefsid meruba, but let's say you have five separate pieces of meat that have the same shaila? Is it a hefsid meruba because we look at all of them together or not? Similarly, what is the halacha if, let's say, you have a butcher in town and it has been discovered that he's been selling treifas for, unfortunately, a number of years, and now everyone in town has to kasher their pots? And perhaps, if we're talking about an individual, for him it's not a hefsid meruba. But do we say that perhaps we could take into consideration the fact that if everyone kashers the pots as a more communal affair, that is certainly considered a hefsid meruba. So perhaps we could be mekel and say that you don't have to all kasher your pots, that's a hefsid meruba. So the question is, how do we define the scope of hefsid meruba? Do we look at the individual piece of meat under discussion or the pot under discussion? Do we look at the individual who's asking the shaila? Do we look at the entire shaila, and if there's, let's say, 10 people involved, so everything adds up, and it constitutes a hefsid meruba? So this is, as well, the subject of a machlikis apoyiskim. Reb Kiva Eger and the Yad Ephraim both say that you look at the individual. In other words, if an entire community has to kash their pots, that's not considered a hefsid meruba, if it's not considered a hefsid meruba for an individual. As long as for the individual, it's not a hefsid meruba, so if that's not deemed a hefsid meruba. However, if, let's say, all of his pots together would constitute a hefsid meruba, even though not each individual pot is a hefsid meruba, that is considered a hefsid meruba. So according to Kivega and the Hartzvi, and the Yad Ephraim, you will look at the individual that's asking the shaila, and you don't look at the community, and you don't look at the individual pot or the individual piece of meat. Now, the Yad Ephraim is discussing a case over there, which is very similar to our shaila, where let's say it was discovered that, you know, a person, a butcher in town, has been selling, unbeknownst to the community, treifas for a bunch of years. And over there, he's mitzarif the fact that it's an issur derabanan under discussion, where we're more inclined to be mekel makom hefsed meruba. Now, why is it an issur derabanan? Because the kelim are einam b'nei yoyma. The kelim are einam b'nei yoyma. A keli that has blius, that has a taste of treifas within the walls of the pot, are only also if it's within, if you're using it within 24 hours of the blia. But if you wait more than 24 hours, it's eini ben yoyimai, it's only also midrabanon, otu ben yoyimai. So it's only a shayla of isidrabanon. Rabbi Kiveger, in his tshuva, is discussing a different shayla. He's discussing a case where, let's say, a person yarshined from his grandmother or whatever an entire set of china or silverware, some type of kelim that are going to be used la'achila, and he doesn't know if it was fleishiks or milchiks. So Rabbi Kiveger also over here says l'chayra it's a safik derabanan because they're all considered eina ben yoyimai. Eina ben yoyimai is only a shayla of derabanan. There's a klal called issur deraisa shenisgalgal liyos issur derabanan. It's considered an issur deraisa, which means that if let's say you have something that started off as an issur deraisa, like in our case, it was ben yoyimai originally, and when the blia of treifas or whatever the fleishiks entered the pot, it in fact was ben yoyimai, and therefore it was deraisa. And then you subsequently waited 24 hours and it became ein ben yoyimai. That's issur deraisa that rolled over, that was nisgagel, and developed into only being an issur derabanan. The halacha is you don't treat this as a safek derabanan, you treat it as a safek deraisa, because the mekor ha-issur is deraisa. And therefore, Zakt Kveger, Zakt Yad Ephraim, in both of these cases, the chayr, it's a shayl of deraisa. And therefore, we would have to be machmer, and we would have to assume that the netiyah is lahachmer because we're having a shayla of issur deraisa. And according to the rule of the Marivayel, whenever you have a issur that started out as an issur deraisa and developed into being an issur derabanan, we treat it as an issur deraisa. Zok Kiveger, Zok the Yad Ephraim, a very important application of this Marivayel, and says the Bikiveger, and says the Yad Ephraim, we have to add an important qualification to this chumrah of Issur Shenisgalgal, and that is that which we say that when the Issur started off as an Issur Deraisa and developed into an Issur Derabanan, we treat it as a Safek Deraisa, that's only when the Safek arose when it was still an Issur Deraisa, and it's just that subsequently it developed into an Issur Derabanan. However, if there was no suffix while it was an issur deraisa, and the entire suffix only developed when it was an issur derabanan, then you don't say this chumrah of nisgalgal, and you treat it as an issur derabanan. And therefore, in these cases, you have to be, you could be mekel. Number one, the case of the china that the person inherited from his parents, when it was ben yoyimai, the person knew if it was fleishiks, and knew if it was milchiks. And therefore, when it was ben yoyimai, there was no suffix bichlal, and so too by the Yad Ephraim, when the whole entire suffix developed only after it was eini ben yoyimai, and since the entire suffix only came about when it was in the state of an issur derabanan, a person could be mekel and treated as an issur derabanan, and says Kiveger and says the Yad Ephraim, we're mekel, we treat it as an issur derabanan, and we're mekel makom hefsed meruba. And how do we define hefsed meruba? If it's an hefsed meruba for the individual, not for the entire community, and not based on the individual pot being discussed. There is a Beis Shleima that disagrees in his Mekel. The Beis Shleima holds that no, if let's say the entire community would have to kasher their pots, that itself constitutes a Hefsed Meruba, because you don't have to look at necessarily the individual, you look at the question globally, and if the Shaila globally causes a Hefsed Meruba, that would be grounds to be Mekel, even though for the individual it's not a Hefsed Meruba. So it seems like most poiskim are noita lahachmer, but there are shittas and achrayim that are mekel. A third shaila that the achrayim discuss is, if, let's say, you have a sheichet, or you have a store, that it's a hefsed meruba for them, and therefore they have a kula to be mekel, because it's a hefsed meruba for them, but for the customer, it's not a hefsed meruba, is the customer allowed to be makel because the butcher? In other words, you have a custom, the butcher who has the heter, because for him it's a hefsa merubah. And it's not considered a hefsa merubah for the lekeach, for the customer. Can the hefsa merubah for the butcher carry over and be makel, and allow him to be makel and sell it to the customer, and enable the customer to eat it based on the butcher's heter? So this as well is a machlekes ha-paiskim. The Chasam Sofer is machmer. The Chasam Sofer says that even though the butcher and the store perhaps has a hefsan merubah and therefore they could be makel, that does not allow them to sell it to someone else and have the customer eat this meat based on their heter of hefsan merubah, since it's not a hefsan merubah for the lekeach. That is the shita of the Chasam Sofer. Reb Kiveger disagrees. Reb Kiveger says that no, the lekeach as well could be makel based on the hefsan merubah for the moicher, because lemaisa it's considered a hefsan merubah for the moicher if he doesn't have the ability to sell it, and therefore he's going to be allowed to sell it, even though for the lekeach it's not a hefsan merubah. The lekeach could bank on the hefsan merubah of the moicher, and the lekeach could eat the product. However, Reb Kiveger does concede that the moicher is mechuyev to inform the lekeach that this is only mutab makam hefsan merubah. That is the shita of Kiveger, that the lekeach could be makel based on the hefsan merubah of the moicher, but the moicher has to inform him that this meat is only mutter based on a heter of hefsan merubah. There are paiskim that are more makel even than Kiveger, and they say that even for the lekeach it's mutter based on the hefsan merubah of the moicher, and he's not even mechuyev to be moidia him, he's not even mechuyev to inform him. Again, this is a tremendous machlekes ha-poiskim. But these are the basic principles and discussions that pertain to this halacha of mutter b'makom hefsan merubah. Number one, as we mentioned, it's something that's subjective. How much is considered merubah? How much of a loss do you have to take for it to be considered hefsan merubah? Number two, it's a machlekes, how we define hefsan merubah. Do we look at the individual item being discussed? Do we look at the person being discussed? Or do we look at the entire shaila, even if it pertains to many people? To this, Reb Kiveger and the other friend we mentioned say that you look at the individual. There was a Beis Shlema that says you can even look at the entire scope of the shaila, even if it's negeh to a community. And then you have the third shaila, whether the lekeach has a right to be makel based on the hefsan merubah that pertains to the moicher, even though it's not considered a hefsan merubah for the lekeach himself.